Hey, everybody, and welcome back. So are you ready to dive into something?
Always.
All right. Well, this is a big one, folks.
It is.
Donald Trump's back in the news with a pretty radical plan for the government.
That's one way to put it.
It's this new thing he's calling the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE for short.
DOGE, huh?
Yeah, DOGE. And to make things even spicier, he's picked Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to lead the charge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they're going for like a complete overhaul of the federal government.
Well, that's the goal anyway.
Cut waste, slash regulations, reduce spending.
You have a whole 9 yards.
The whole 9 yards, yeah. And Musk has even thrown out this target. $2 trillion in potential budget cuts.
$2 trillion?
$2 trillion. That's a lot of money.
It is.
Plus, there's talk of this like public leaderboard to track government waste.
A leaderboard?
Yeah, a leaderboard.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to gamify government reform.
That's certainly a unique approach.
But, you know, before we get too deep into all of that, I think it's important to clarify what DOGE actually is and what it's not.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start because the name department is a little misleading.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it really a department?
It's unlikely it'll be an official cabinet-level department, you see. Creating a new department requires approval from Congress and something this controversial.
Well, probably not going to happen.
Probably not. It's more likely that DOGE will operate as like a task force or a commission under the president's authority.
So more like a power team assembled by the president.
Yeah.
To tackle a specific problem.
Exactly.
But even if it's not a formal department, I mean, we're still talking about Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy working directly for the president.
That's certainly going to raise some eyebrows.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that.
And then you've got the nickname DOGE with its connection to that internet meme and the cryptocurrency Dogecoin.
Right.
Just adds to the intrigue. You know, it's classic Musk, blending humor and tech with, well, politics.
Yeah, so let's talk about these two leaders for a second.
Okay.
Elon Musk, I mean, we all know him, the techno king. Ambitious projects like SpaceX and Tesla. Huge advocate for deregulation. He's even said that too many regulations are the biggest threat to humanity's future.
He has.
And then there's Vivek Ramaswamy, biotech entrepreneur, former GOP presidential candidate, actually ran against Trump before endorsing him. And now here he is working with him on DOGE.
Quite a turn of events.
It is a wild turn of events. What do you make of that?
Well, it's certainly an interesting mix of perspectives. You have Musk arguing that deregulation is crucial for innovation, especially for his vision of colonizing Mars. And then you've got Ramaswamy, who's been pretty critical of what he calls woke corporate culture. Makes you wonder how those different viewpoints will shape DOGE's approach.
Yeah, so with those players in mind, what are they actually trying to achieve with DOGE? What are the stated goals?
Well, Trump has outlined some pretty ambitious objectives. He wants to dismantle bureaucracy slash regulations, cut spending, essentially restructure entire federal agencies.
Well, that sounds like a massive undertaking. Is that even possible?
Well, it's a tall order for sure, but it does align with some of Trump's longstanding campaign promises and his previous efforts to shrink the size of government and address the fiscal deficit. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017.
Right. Yeah. Right. Remember that.
Yeah, that was a pretty big change to the tax code, right?
Exactly. It was aimed at making it simpler and more efficient. And it's worth noting that Musk has actually invited the public.
Oh, really?
To chime in on what they think should be cut. He's promising transparency through that online leaderboard of wasteful spending. It almost feels like a crowdsourced approach to government reform.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
It's a new approach for sure. But I imagine there are plenty of people who aren't exactly thrilled about this whole DOGE idea.
Oh, absolutely. You've got strong opinions on both sides.
Yeah.
Like Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase.
Oh, wow.
He's actually come out in support of DOGE.
Really?
He sees it as a way to potentially improve how the government operates.
That is interesting. Dimon isn't usually on the same page as Trump politically.
No, he's not. So his support definitely adds a layer of complexity to the story.
It does. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have Senator Elizabeth Warren. A vocal critic of Trump, she's skeptical about DOGE, and has sarcastically questioned whether having two leaders is really the most efficient approach.
So we've got some big names weighing in, but this also brings up the concern that's been in the news a lot.
Yeah.
Musk's potential conflicts of interest. I mean, his companies, SpaceX and Tesla, they have major contracts with the federal government.
They do.
So isn't there a risk that he could use his position in DOGE to benefit his own businesses?
It's a valid concern, and it's something that critics have been vocal about. They argue that Musk's involvement in DOGE creates a situation where he could potentially influence decisions that directly impact his companies. Of course, Musk has dismissed these concerns, but it's something that will likely continue to be scrutinized.
Yeah, and then there's that massive $2 trillion figure that Musk mentioned.
Right.
I mean, is cutting that much from the federal budget even feasible? And what would the consequences be?
That's the question a lot of people are asking. We're talking about potential impacts on everything, from social programs to defense spending. The consequences could be far-reaching. And there's a lot of debate about what those might be.
Before we move on, there's one more thing. I want to bring up something I found particularly intriguing.
What's that?
It's the Argentinian connection.
Oh, yes.
Javier Milei. The president of Argentina has said that Musk actually sought advice from Argentina's Minister of Deregulation and Transformation of the State.
Really?
Apparently, Musk was interested in how Argentina has approached similar efforts to streamline their government.
Huh.
So DOGE isn't just a domestic issue. It's drawing inspiration from international examples.
That's a fascinating twist.
It adds another layer of complexity to this whole story.
It does, and it raises some interesting questions about whether a model that might work in one country can be successfully implemented in another. The political and economic landscapes are vastly different.
That's true. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. A bold plan, a controversial cast of characters, and a whole lot of unanswered questions. But before we dive into the specifics of what DOGE might actually look like in practice, I want to take a step back and ask you from your perspective, what's the most surprising thing about DOGE so far?
That's a great question. I think what's most surprising, and perhaps even a little unsettling, is the level of power and influence. Being concentrated in the hands of unelected individuals like Musk and Ramaswamy.
That's an interesting point. We'll definitely want to explore that further. But for now, let's take a quick break and come back to dig into some of the specific ideas being floated and what they might mean for all of us.
Sounds good. Welcome back to our deep dive into DOGE.
All right, so we've laid out the basics, who's involved, the ambitious goals, and the potential for both positive change and some, let's face it, unintended consequences.
Right.
Now let's get into the nitty-gritty. What are some of the specific ideas being floated for DOGE, and how might they play out in the real world?
Well, one that's captured a lot of attention is Musk's idea of creating an online leaderboard to track government waste.
Yeah, this leaderboard thing really caught my eye, too. It sounds like something straight out of Silicon Valley. But can you actually apply that kind of gamification to something as complex as government?
It's a big question. The idea is to make government spending more transparent and encourage the public to help identify areas where money is being wasted.
So it's kind of like crowdsourcing an audit of the federal budget.
Exactly. Musk has even suggested that people will be able to submit examples of government waste and vote on which ones are the most egregious.
Okay. I have to admit, that part sounds kind of cool. I could see how it can generate a lot of interest and maybe even some healthy competition between agencies to clean up their act. But, you know, there's always another side of the coin. What are some potential downsides to this whole leaderboard idea?
Well, for one thing, critics argue that just focusing on the dollar amount of spending doesn't always tell the whole story.
What do you mean?
Some programs might seem wasteful at first glance if you just look at the numbers, but they might actually be providing essential services to people who really need them.
Right, so we need to look beyond the numbers and consider the impact on real people's lives. Cutting a program just because it looks expensive on a leaderboard could end up hurting those who rely on it.
Exactly. And there's another concern. Could this public shaming approach actually backfire? What if instead of encouraging better decision making, it creates a culture of fear and risk aversion within government agencies?
That's a great point. If people are constantly worried about being called out for wasteful spending, they might be less likely to take risks or try new and innovative approaches. They'll just stick with the status quo, even if it's not working, to avoid ending up on that dreaded leaderboard.
It's a delicate balance. We want accountability and transparency, yes, but we also don't want to stifle creativity or punish well-intentioned efforts that might not have immediate measurable results.
So while this leaderboard idea is intriguing, it seems like it needs a lot more thought to make sure it doesn't create more problems than it solves.
Absolutely, and it's just one example of the many complex challenges DOGE will face if it's actually going to make a real difference.
Now, another area I know a lot of people are wondering about is regulatory reform. This is a big part of Trump's agenda. And Musk has been pretty vocal about wanting to reduce what he sees as excessive government regulation.
Yes, he's argued that regulations are stifling innovation and holding companies back.
And let's be honest, regulations can definitely be burdensome and create unnecessary hurdles for businesses. But of course, the flip side is that regulations exist for a reason.
Right. Of course, they're there to protect consumers, workers, and the environment. The key is finding the right balance.
So what kind of deregulation might we actually see if DOGE gets going?
It's hard to say for sure at this point, but some of the areas that have been mentioned include environmental regulations, labor laws, and financial regulations.
Wow, those are some pretty big areas. And any changes could have major implications for a lot of people.
Exactly. And it's crucial to remember that deregulation, just like any major policy shift, can have both positive and negative consequences.
Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. Let's take environmental regulations. Reducing them might lead to economic growth by making it easier for businesses to operate. But it could also lead to increased pollution, which would harm public health and the environment.
So it's not a simple issue, and the potential trade-offs need to be carefully considered.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing that often gets lost in all this talk about streamlining government and cutting costs is the impact on the people who actually work for the government. I mean, we're talking about potentially restructuring entire agencies. That's got to affect the employees.
Right. You're absolutely right. It's something that's often overlooked in discussions about government reform. But any significant changes to how the government works will directly impact the lives and livelihoods of federal employees.
So what kind of impact might we see?
Well, there's a possibility of job losses if certain functions are deemed unnecessary or redundant. We could also see changes in job responsibilities, pay, and benefits as agencies are reorganized and streamlined.
And even if someone keeps their job, all this uncertainty about the future can create a lot of stress and anxiety.
You're right. It's crucial that the voices of government workers are heard, and their concerns are addressed throughout this process.
One thing that strikes me about DOGE is just how ambitious it is.
It's definitely a bold plan aiming to fundamentally reshape how the U.S. government functions. They're not going for incremental change here.
And they're trying to do it all on a really tight timeline. Didn't Musk say he wants to see significant progress within 2 years?
Yes, which is an incredibly aggressive timeline for such a massive undertaking. It raises questions about whether it's even possible to achieve real, meaningful change on this scale in such a short period of time.
It also makes me wonder if there's a risk of rushing things and making decisions without fully thinking through the potential consequences.
That's a valid concern in the pursuit of speed and efficiency. Important details could be overlooked, and key stakeholders might be left out of the process.
It's almost like trying to rebuild an airplane while it's still in flight.
Exactly. It's a high-risk, high-reward situation.
And whatever happens, the consequences will be far-reaching, not just for the government, but for the whole country.
Absolutely. The decisions made by DOGE, if it goes forward, will have ripple effects across every sector of the economy and touch every aspect of our lives.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the potential benefits of DOGE streamlining cost savings, increased efficiency. But what about the other side of the equation? What are some of the potential downsides or risks of this kind of radical reform?
Well, as with any major change, especially something as complex as the U.S. government, there are always risks. One of the biggest is that in our quest for efficiency, we might lose sight of other important values.
Like what?
Things like fairness, equity, and accountability. For example, if we're only focused on cutting costs, we might end up cutting programs that provide essential services to the most vulnerable among us, or we might weaken regulations that are in place to protect workers and the environment.
Right, so it's not just about doing things more cheaply, it's also about doing the right things, even if they cost a bit more.
Exactly. And there's also a risk that in our haste to streamline the government, we might inadvertently create new layers of bureaucracy or make it even harder for people to access the services they need.
It's like that old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Precisely. Even the most well-meaning reforms can have unintended consequences. That's why it's crucial to move forward with caution, carefully think through the potential impacts, and ensure that all stakeholders have a voice in the process.
Okay, so it seems like DOGE is walking a tightrope here.
It definitely is, and it's a tightrope walk with incredibly high stakes. The outcome of this whole endeavor could have a profound impact on the future of the U.S. government and ultimately on the future of the country as a whole.
Right, we've explored some potential benefits, some potential risks, talked about the challenges and the unknowns. But if we had to boil it all down, what should we and our listeners really be watching for as DOGE gets underway?
That's a great question. I think there are a few key things to keep in mind. First, pay close attention to the specifics. What concrete proposals are being put forward? How are they being implemented? And who is being impacted? Don't just focus on the headlines, dig deeper into the details.
That makes sense. It's easy to get caught up in the hype, but the devil's often in the details.
Second, be wary of anyone promising simple solutions. Complex problems rarely have easy answers. Anyone claiming to have a quick fix for government waste or inefficiency is likely oversimplifying things.
So a healthy dose of skepticism is warranted here.
Absolutely. Critical thinking is essential. Don't just accept what you hear at face value. Question it, challenge it, and look for evidence to support or refute the claims being made.
That's good advice for pretty much everything in life, wouldn't you say?
You're not wrong. And finally, remember that this is an ongoing process. DOGE is just the beginning. The decisions made now will have long-term consequences, so it's vital that we stay engaged, informed, and involved.
So what you're saying is that this isn't a spectator sport. We all have a role to play in shaping the future of government.
Exactly. This is our government, and we have a responsibility to hold it accountable and ensure that it serves the needs of all Americans.
I love that it's a reminder that we're not just passive observers. We have agency. And we can make a difference.
Absolutely. And that's what this deep dive is all about, empowering you, our listeners, with the knowledge and tools to engage in these crucial conversations and to help shape the future of our country.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground, but there's still one piece of the puzzle we need to explore. The bigger picture, what are the broader implications of DOGE, and what does it all mean for the future of government? We'll tackle those questions when we come back for the final part of our deep dive. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive into DOGE. So far, we've covered a lot of ground, from the players involved to the potential impact on everything from government spending to regulations. But now let's zoom out. Look at the bigger picture. What are the broader implications of this plan to reshape the U.S. government? What does it all mean for the future of how our country is run?
It's a great question. And I think one of the biggest issues that DOGE brings up is trust, or rather the lack of it.
You're right. We've talked a lot about the need for transparency and accountability if something like DOGE were to move forward. But underlying all of that is this fundamental question of whether people actually trust the government to do the right thing. And these days, that's a big question mark.
It is. We've seen growing polarization, partisan gridlock, and a sense that the government is out of touch with the everyday concerns of the people it's supposed to represent.
So is there a chance that DOGE could actually restore some of that lost trust? Or could it make things even worse?
It's hard to say for sure. It really cuts both ways. If DOGE is successful in making the government more efficient and effective, if people start to feel like their tax dollars are being used wisely, that could potentially rebuild some trust.
People might start to feel like the government is actually working for them, not against them.
Right. But on the flip side, if DOGE is seen as being driven by partisan interests, or if it results in cuts to essential services that people rely on, it could further erode public trust. It could feed into the narrative that the government doesn't care about ordinary people.
Yeah, it's a tightrope walk for sure. And it makes me wonder about the role that ideology plays in all of this. I mean, we can't ignore the fact that the people behind DOGE, especially Musk and Ramaswamy, have some pretty strong opinions about the role of government.
Absolutely. Musk has expressed libertarian views, arguing for limited government involvement in the market. And Ramaswamy has been very critical of what he calls woke culture and government overreach.
So how much do you think those ideologies are shaping their approach to DOGE?
It's something we need to be mindful of as we evaluate their proposals and actions. We have to ask ourselves, are they genuinely committed to making the government work better for everyone? Or are they primarily focused on advancing their own ideological agendas?
It's a question that's going to follow DOGE wherever it goes, and it taps into a much larger debate about the nature of government itself.
You're right. There's this longstanding tension in American politics between those who believe in a limited role for government and those who believe that government should play a more active role in solving social problems.
It's the classic small government versus big government debate.
Exactly. And in many ways, DOGE is a reflection of that debate. It's an attempt to shrink the size and scope of government to shift power away from the public sector and towards the private sector.
So is this something totally new? Or have we seen this kind of push for government reform before in U.S. history?
Oh, this isn't new at all. Throughout American history, there have been waves of reform aimed at making the government more efficient, accountable, and responsive to the needs of the people.
Like the Progressive Era in the early 20th century.
Exactly. That was a period of huge social and political reform, driven in part by a belief that government could be a force for good, a tool to address problems like poverty, inequality, and corruption. And then there was the Reagan Revolution in the 1980s, which emphasize smaller government, lower taxes, and deregulation.
So DOGE is kind of echoing those earlier movements.
It is. It's built on the idea that government is too big, too bureaucratic, and too inefficient. But it's also happening in a very different world than those earlier reform movements.
We're living in an age of rapid technological change, globalization, and widening social and economic inequality.
You got. So how do those factors shape the challenges and opportunities that DOGE is facing? Let's start with technology. It has the power to both help and hinder government efficiency. On the one hand, technology can streamline processes, cut down on paperwork, and make it easier for people to access government services.
But it can also make things more complicated, right? Like, how do you ensure privacy and security when everything's digital?
That's a big challenge. And then there's globalization. It's led to increased competition and a growing sense that the U.S. government needs to become more nimble and adaptable to keep up.
So DOGE could be seen as an attempt to modernize the government to make it more competitive in the global economy.
That's one way to look at it. And then there's the issue of inequality. The growing gap between the rich and the poor has fueled a lot of anger and a feeling that the system is rigged against working people.
So is DOGE going to address those inequalities, or is it going to make them worse?
That's the million-dollar question. It really depends on how it's implemented and who ultimately benefits from the changes that are made.
Okay, so it seems like DOGE is at a crossroads.
It could go either way. It has the potential to be a force for positive change, to make the government more efficient, accountable, and responsive to the needs of the people. But it also has the potential to exacerbate existing problems and further erode public trust.
It sounds like the outcome really hinges on the choices that are made by those in power, and on whether ordinary citizens get involved and make their voices heard.
It does so if we're thinking about what we can do as informed citizens. To make sure DOGE lives up to its potential, what are some concrete steps we can take?
Well, first and foremost, we need to stay informed. That means paying attention to the news, reading about the issues, and having thoughtful discussions with others.
And don't just rely on sound bites or social media posts. Dig deeper and make sure you're getting information from a variety of sources.
We can't just sit back and be passive observers. We have to hold those in power accountable. We can contact our elected officials, attend town halls, and speak up about what we think about DOGE and what we expect from our government.
Right. Make your voice heard. And don't be afraid to get more involved. Volunteer your time, support organizations you believe in, and participate in the democratic process.
This isn't something that just happens to us. We create the future of our government together.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into DOGE. It's been a fascinating journey, exploring the complexities of government reform, the potential for both progress and pitfalls, and the crucial role that we as citizens play in shaping our collective future.
We hope this deep dive has given you the information and insights you need to engage in this critical conversation and make your voice heard.
Remember, this is just the beginning. The DOGE saga is still unfolding. There are going to be a lot of twists and turns ahead.
So stay curious, stay engaged, and keep asking those tough questions.
And until next time, keep driving deep.